next on AM 1480 WLEA, the Newsmaker Show. Here's Ryan O'Neill.
Well, very glad to have on with us today a former station employee who's a member of the NRA and a member of Rachel's Voice. We have on the line with us, and we're saying it properly here, Amy Mikolajic. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. Where do we start? Let's start with the gun issues. Marco Rubio's legislation, Senator Marco Rubio, the Florida Republican, what do you make of his legislation to stop school violence?
Well, on the face of it, I think it has some good qualities to it. Stop School Violence Act. He wants to strengthen school security, which, as we know, may become problematic here in New York State. You know, arming the schools, at best arming the schools, and at the very least having more safety people on hand at the schools. More training to school personnel to identify the threats, especially the troubled kids. Crisis intervention, you know, those are all good. He does have some points to that legislation that are going to prove to be problematic to those of us who support the Second Amendment. You can kind of fall on either side of it. I know many people who are very much part of the Second Amendment movement do have some problems with a couple of aspects of it. One of them is the ban on manufacturing or sale. He hasn't really clarified if it's just manufacturing or just a ban on the bump stock. You know, the bump stock, as some of your listeners may know, conceivably can turn a semi-automatic rifle into acting like an automatic rifle. It's a little more complicated than that, but those who are for that kind of ban would say that since fully automatic firearms are generally illegal, although there are some heavy permits out there and there are a few people who can obtain them, the bump stock, in essence, would fall in line with a ban on fully automatic weapons because it essentially could make that gun act like a fully automatic rifle. Those who fall on the pure Second Amendment advocacy side would say that law as well has its problems, and that even if we add another law, keep adding another law, you know, banning the bump stock or keeping manufacturers from creating them is not going to keep anyone from trying to create them and selling them on the black market or having some, you know, lunatic create one. And the bump stock issue came about after the Las Vegas shooting, as you know. The other aspect of it that might prove to be problematic is raising the age for purchase of firearms. Again, you know, those of us who might lean on the libertarian side would say, you know, we've got all these different ages for all of these different things, you know, 16 to drive, 18 to vote, 18 to join the military, 21 to get a handgun permit. You know, you could argue that violates the rights of young men and women who want to exercise their Second Amendment right. I do have faith that Marco Rubio has the hearts and minds of Second Amendment supporters, and we'll have to see as it goes through the committees. We'll have to see how it pans out.
Amy, wanted to get your take on this. The argument that comes from the Democrats and the argument that comes from these Parkland High School shooter survivors is if you take away the if you shut down the gun manufacturers, guns go away. Now, or if you outlaw, I suppose the other thing they say is if you make guns illegal, the guns problem will stop. I guess these people have never heard of illegal weapons. It's kind of like the illegal drug problem. You know, you outlaw heroin, but it doesn't seem to completely stop it.
I'm not an advocate of legalizing drugs, but you cannot pass more laws to prevent crime.
Oh, I wanted to say I'm not an advocate of legalizing drugs either, but the drug problem seems to still exist.
Yeah, and you know, with Las Vegas and the Parkland shooting, we already know for a fact that multiple laws were already violated. We know specifically in Parkland that the ball was dropped, to say the very least, on the part of law enforcement as well as the people who were in the system, whether it was DSS or teachers and local police, who totally ignored this problem. You also have something that a lot of people are talking about, too. you know, the social media has played a huge part in this supposed increase in school shootings. Now, there has not been an increase in gun violence in the country. It's gone down for decades. But we do seem to see these more frequent mass school shootings by, you know, troubled kids, lunatic kids who decide to do something stupid. There is something to be said about the impact of social media. You know, these kids are going online and making threats, and they want to be famous. They want their name to be held in infamy. Ben Shapiro over the Daily Wire made a decision last month that he will not post the photo or the name of any of these types of shootings, because there is something to be said that's a problem. If we don't give them that infamy, and they're already sick individuals to begin with, is it not worth a try? It's a small thing. Is it not worth a try to just not give them that infamy, and maybe by then they'll get the help that they need?
Yeah, that's one idea. Another possible suggestion would be that when this guy's the suspect's family members and the suspect himself kept calling officials to warn them about the possibility of a school shooting, nobody listened.
Right, and that's another aspect of Rubio's law that I like. You know, you still have to protect the rights of individuals. If you want to even attempt to take away someone's gun, you're going to have to go through the courts. We have to make sure that that's the case, because you're going to have, you know, you're going to have an ex-wife or an ex-girlfriend or a family member or a friend cannot just make an anonymous call to someone and say, I think their guns should be taken away. So we have to make sure it's done with due process. And if it's a legitimate concern, then I have no problem with getting into the homes and seeing what the situation is. And if that person is proven to be a threat to themselves or others, then that's where you can start.
Okay, California Senator Kamala Harris had some statements recently about gun violence.
Yeah, I found it really interesting. Kamala Harris is heavily supported by Planned Parenthood and the National NARAL, National Abortion Rights Action League. I just find it an interesting disconnect that she has, where she said when she worked as a prosecutor, you know, seeing the photos of dead children and how America cannot be proud when we're slaughtering our children. And, you know, I think for those of us who are pro-Second Amendment supporters, a lot of us are also pro-life, and I just found it a strikingly, horrifically ironic dichotomy that she has this disconnect between abortion and the slaughtering of children. So she thinks it's perfectly acceptable to take away our Second Amendment rights, those of us who are not criminals, who are sane and healthy and are exercising our rights. She wants to take our guns away, but she is part of the crowd that finds it perfectly acceptable for the government to come in and declare that the slaughtering of children on this other aspect, which has been proven that more than half of the country does agree it's the taking of a human life, she has no problem with that.
Yeah, there is a certain irony there for sure. We're talking with Amy Mikolajic, a local NRA member, also a member of Rachel's Voice. Tell us a little bit about Rachel's Voice, Amy.
I'm the director of Rachel's Voice of Hornell, and we're just a little local pro-life group. We're trying to offer our abortion alternatives to people in need. We push more of a social network-based advocacy, billboards, you know, just trying to promote the value of life before girls and women find themselves in that situation.
And how do you get in touch with Rachel's Voice in Hornell? Do you have a website? Do you have a phone number?
Yep, you can go to rachelsvoicehornell.com, and you can find us on Facebook, and the email is rachelsvoicehornell@yahoo.com.
This is it a part of the Rachel's Vineyard organization?
No, it's just got a similar name. Rachel's Vineyard supports women who are experiencing post-traumatic disorders as a result of their abortion, counseling, and assistance in moving on with their life after they make that decision.
Now, does the name Rachel, is Rachel's Voice the same Rachel as Rachel's Vineyard?
Well, most any of these pro-life advocacy groups, a lot of us do use that name, Rachel. It's from the Old Testament of Rachel crying out to the Lord for her children. And we believe that abortion is not only the taking of a human life, but women who choose abortion are also victims as well. So we try to empower women. We're pro-women and pro-child.
Now, talking to Amy Mikulajic, Rachel's Voice of Hornell is the part of the show that we're at right now. We started out talking about the NRA, Second Amendment, gun rights in the aftermath of the Parkland High School shooting. As far as the issue of abortion goes, Amy, some proposed state laws in the works to, they say codify, and they never explain what that means, to back up or make permanent, I suppose, is another way of saying it. The original early 1970s Roe v. Wade laws in New York State. That's just one thing they want to do. What else is being proposed by the New York State? Is it Governor Cuomo? Is it the Democrats in New York City? I think it's both.
Supports every time the Reproductive Health Act is brought to the floor. Governor Cuomo fully supports it. They do this every few years. They rename it. They repackage it. This year it's Senate Bill 2796. Basically, the Reproductive Health Act of New York State wants to expand on our already existing New York State law and, in fact, expand on Roe v. Wade. And it really has some really despicable things in it. One of them, for example, we do have some penal code in New York State. If you have a sister or a wife or a mother or a daughter or a friend who is 6 months pregnant and gets assaulted or killed, whether it's from a DWI or, you know, an ex who just decides to bring harm, we do have some penal codes right now where that child is the second victim of the crime. Every time they bring this law, one of the aspects of this proposed legislation is to remove any extra punishment upon that kind of horrific act. The other thing they want to take away is any parental consent. You know, we have to sign a permission slip to have our 13-year-old daughter take a Tylenol at school. But under Cuomo and under the people who are following him on this issue, they really just want your daughter to be able to go have this medical procedure, this surgery, without your consent. And it hasn't passed. Like I said, they try it many times, but I think once people see the details of it, it's pretty extreme. I mean, it's, you know, New York State already leads the country. I think California and New York are in the top three or four on abortions, and they just want to keep expanding that. You know, and it's all about the language of this issue. Those who are extremely pro-abortion have changed that language over the past couple of decades, where it pretty much became, if you want your child, if you become pregnant and you want to continue the pregnancy and give birth and raise the child or give it up for adoption, it's a person, it's a human child.
But if you don't want it, it's a fetus.
If you don't, it's just a fetus, it's just a blob of cells. Well, what's really extreme about the Reproductive Health Acts that these guys keep trying to pass, it doesn't matter whether you wanted the baby, it doesn't matter if you were happy about the baby, it's still just a clump of cells, it's a fetus, it's something that can be gotten rid of at your convenience. So there's a disconnect with their own logic, and it really comes down to their fear that wording is important, because they're right, and they have hijacked these words over the years, and they want to be very careful that those words stay intact. The Reproductive Health Act, like I said, they do this every few years, and there's plenty of us out there that just want people to know how extreme it is. They also want to expand it so that any healthcare practitioner can perform an abortion. It does not have to be a doctor. It's somewhat vague. You got to really read the entire bill, but I mean, you could read it and just think that your school nurse could perform an abortion, your dentist. I mean, it's quite vague. And that certainly doesn't bode well for the health of women. You know, they always talked about the back alley abortions and how they were unhealthy. And
oh, that was a scary time. I mean, civilization didn't begin until, what, 1973, Amy?
Yep.
Because before that, we had unprofessional abortions, and now everything is wonderful.
Right. And you know, these clinics, we still have the Gosnells and the Carharts who don't follow the law, have horrible conditions in their clinics. They're performing abortions beyond what is legal in their state. You know, they're inspected about, you know, less frequently than a tattoo parlor. So again, it's extreme, and people talk about women's health and women's rights. 24 weeks is the current limit in New York State. They want to expand that. Mind you, the viability, according to all medical journals today, is about 22 weeks, maybe 23. So that was another argument that they held around for decades, was the viability, you know, that chance where the child has a greater than 50% chance of surviving outside of the womb. Well, in this case, the child is well beyond that viable stage, but they still want it to be acceptable to, quote-unquote, make that choice to take the life of that child.
What was that phrase, safe, legal, and rare?
Yeah, and I would say that side of the issue, the pro-abortion side, has done very well keeping it legal right up to the ninth month, frankly. But they certainly have done very little on the safe and rare. Abortion has peaked in the 90s, upwards of close to a million a year. It's gone down a few thousand in the past decade or so. And that's due to education and people understanding, you know, what's going on in the womb, our technology, the internet, where people really understand that this is a human life.
But not to stay on this topic for the rest of the show, it is kind of interesting, though. Now that Cecile Richards, the head of Planned Parenthood, stepped down at the beginning of this year, a couple of months ago, any thoughts on why she might have done that, Amy?
Honestly, I think no matter what side of the issue you're on, there is certainly a burnout period. You have to understand that organizations like Planned Parenthood and NARAL spend a huge amount of their time attacking their enemies or being attacked by their perceived enemies. They spend a lot of time arguing, being the victims of lawsuits, frankly, look that up, how many lawsuits have been promulgated against Planned Parenthood, and I think it's probably just burnout, or, you know, maybe she has some political aspirations, who knows.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and then finish up with Amy Mikulajic here on the Newsmaker Show. Stay with us.
The Ryan Agencies, your local, independent insurance agencies. Online insurance companies don't know the unique needs of our rural community. The Ryan Agency meets rural needs every day. Local insurance experts offering realistic solutions. Contact the Ryan Agencies today. Good local people offering realistic insurance solutions.
Insurance protection you can rely on. The Ryan Agencies.
Got an idea for new product or app? Get it off the ground now before it's too late. Call Davison for your free idea starter kit. Get in front of big companies that can help you. 800-294-7417. 800-294-7417. Have you written a book? Learn how to get it published and potentially sold online and at bookstores. Attention all potential new authors. Call Page Publishing now for your free book publishing kit. 800-470-4833. 800-470-4833.
Give the gift of life. Give blood this Wednesday, March 14th in Hornell at St. James Hospital on Canastillo Street. The hours are noon until 5. This reminder from Callahan Insurance of Hornell. Their independent agents offer personal, commercial, property, and vehicle insurance at the best prices. Call 324-1285 for all your insurance needs or stop in at Callahan Insurance, 63 Center Street, Hornell. This message also brought to you by the Farm and Family Insurance Company of Hornell. Have your home, car, business, and life insurance needs covered. Also, estate, retirement, and education planning. That's Farm and Family Insurance, 15 Church Street, Hornell. Give them a call, 324-4108. And again, that blood drive is coming up this Wednesday, March 14th, at St. James Hospital on Canastillo Street, Hornell. The hours, Wednesday, from noon until 5. Come in and show your Red Cross support.
Hello, is that you?
It's me. I'm here.
Hey, what do you got for the weather, Rob?
Oh, some more snow, even though the start of spring is 8 days away, Brian. There's nothing spring-like like this forecast, at least through the period. The best weather I see headed our way is probably over the weekend. We'll get a chance to warm things up into the 40s, but for now, boy, we're colder than normal. A lot of cloudiness and the potential for a little bit of light snow from time to time. We will be seeing some light snow at times this morning, some flurries this afternoon. Accumulation should be under an inch today. Temperatures 30 to 35. Brian, we had sunrise this morning at 7:24. It'll set at 7:15 this evening. Another sign that spring is right around the corner as the day approaches 12 hours in length. We'll have scattered snow showers tonight. Lows near 25. More snow showers tomorrow. We're probably going to pick up an inch or two during the day. 30 to 35. Snow showers taper off to scattered flurries tomorrow night, 20 to 25. Brian, it's mostly cloudy with scattered flurries on Thursday, and it stays cold. The highs Thursday afternoon, only 30 to 35.
Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome, Mr. Brian.
I'll see you.
Have a good one.
We're on today with Amy Mikulajic. Amy, you've talked about the NRA and you've talked about Rachel's Voice. Is there any connection between the two organizations?
No, there absolutely is not. There's no affiliation between Rachel's Voice of Hornell or the NRA. I just happen to be involved with each of them.
You know, one thing we did not cover in segment one when we were talking about Second Amendment issues was that Governor Cuomo, right after the Parkland High School shooting, put a lot of state troopers around schools in New York State, all over the state. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is pulling the school resource officers out of the schools in New York City in order to use them for what he calls community policing jobs. Your thoughts?
It just kind of amazes me, as I said, the disconnect of logic here. You have the governor assigning more cops to go to the schools to patrol, and then we have de Blasio doing the exact opposite. Mind you, they're both on the same side of the issue of guns. They are both strongly in favor of gun control, so it's a really odd thing. You know, the particular schools that they're talking about, there's a lot of parents and PTA organizations that are really up in arms and are signing petitions to try to get their cops back in. There's no armed security in these schools, but they are there, and they're just pulling them out. They're going to tell the police to visit the schools and patrol the neighborhoods. One particular school in Queens is they're really up in arms. 5,000 people in the neighborhood. They're not going to have any cop in the school, and the police officers have just been told to visit more frequently. You know, having armed cops in schools is controversial. I don't see why it's controversial. You know, we protect our courthouses, we protect our politicians, you know, Hollywood with armed security. I fail to understand why anyone would be against protecting our children with armed security. You know, and there is something to be said about the gun-free zone. I mean, what an oxymoron. You can't put a sign up outside of a school that says gun-free zone and expect a lunatic hell-bent on killing children to obey the law.
Or do anything but say, hey, it's a gun-free zone, I'm going in.
Hey, they're not going to change their mind. The stupidity of it is really overwhelming to me.
And last time I checked, you know, I graduated in the late 80s, but I don't think we were allowed to bring 38s and 45s into school, so I don't know that this is such a great, noble thing anyway.
It's new. But you're not only hamstringing parents from feeling that their children are protected and keeping our children safe, you're hamstringing a lot of good teachers who may have concealed carry permits. You know, what kind of teacher do you want to be? Do you want to be that teacher that followed the rule, okay, followed that little sign, or do you want to be the teacher that says, hey, you know what, I'm just going to take a risk here and prevent someone from dying?
Amy, with that, we're out of time. We've got to go. I want to thank you very much for coming on, though.
Thanks, Brian. It was a pleasure.
It's AM 1480, WLEA Hornell.